Good afternoon. This is Shannon Roche Jones in this afternoon for Tyler Axness on Afternoons Live. Thanks for hanging out with me and listening. And Eric, I mean, you haven't even really had to save me too much.
No, you've been knocking it out so much.
I can't handle this.
I imagine some tea tonight would probably be a good idea.
Something to calm me.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've got coffee now. Olivia came back. She brought me some coffee. We've got Brandy Pyle joining us. We're going to finish out this last hour strong. So I just will bring in my friend and legislative colleague, Representative Brandy Pyle. We're going to have her talking this after the long break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about her work with Haley's Hope. We're going to talk about a celebration or a remembrance coming up for Vietnam veterans. But how are things going? First, you do have an election coming up. I do not, because I am not running again. But how are things going for you with regard to running for re-election again?
Yeah, thank you, Shannon. Things have been going great. So far, it's pretty relaxed. Everybody's kind of watching the Secretary of State's website to see who's filing and who's not.
And how much longer do people have to file? Anyone is really wanting to take you on in a head-to-head.
Oh, yeah, if they really want to. April 8th at 4 p.m. is the deadline. So no matter if you're running for legislative, judicial, or a local race, that is the deadline.
Well, and people, it's good for people to know that, because there are a lot of opportunities that need to be filled, opportunities to serve, like you said, legislative races, but people don't also, it's easy to forget that we have county commission, we have city commission, there's park district,
board.
There's school boards. There's a lot of races coming up, and there's a lot of opportunity to serve if you feel like that's a place where you can add value.
Absolutely. And a lot of those local races are decided on the June ballot.
Yeah. So, Brandy, so people understand what is your district and what area are you representing?
Yep. So I represent District 22, which is mainly rural Cass County. I live just outside of Castleton, but we do have a sliver of Fargo and West Fargo. Go all the way to the north border of Cass County and all the way down to the south border and all the way out to the west, out to Valley.
You have a much larger geographic area to cover than I ever did. And, you know, for anyone who doesn't understand, North Dakota legislative districts are divided up by population. So where I represented Southeast Fargo, which was, what are we at now, about 15 or 18,000 people post-census, was it?
I think it's in the middle. I think it's 16.5.
Okay. I would say, I know it's right in that range, but it's been a little while since I looked at the number. Yeah. But so it's much easier for me to represent that number of people because, you know, I could walk my district end to end in, you know, maybe a couple hours time versus you, who have a much larger area to cover. Plus, you've got small towns with parades and things like that. There's no parades in Southeast Fargo.
I know. I keep trying to get you out to a couple of them.
My candy budget is non-existent.
You could be the driver. We always need a driver.
I will have some time after this summer not running myself. So
I'll send you the email invites and we'll get you on my calendar.
Sounds good. So what are some of the big things that you are looking forward to working towards or working on during your next campaign? Your next session.
You know, this will be my third race. So I have been a legislator for 8 years. So now that I have that under my belt, a little bit more familiar with exactly what I want to do. But I always emphasize education. Obviously, this is why I'm on Haley's Hope and out here to promote literacy. I do love working for our veterans and mental health. One of the bills that I'll be introducing, I've been working with a constituent, is some insurance for, he does rental cars through
A Turo program?
Like Turo.
Okay.
But one of them was stolen, and because of our laws, he can't file for to get his money back. And so working with through Council of State Governments out in Kentucky, we'll get some legislation that's been passed in other states and then bring it here to North Dakota so those companies and those people are protected for any losses.
That's awesome. So we are going to have to go to a break here shortly, and but when we come back, let's talk a little bit about you just alluded to it, the intersection really on your priorities in the legislature really stem from the things that are important to you in your life. Haley's Hope focuses on providing resources to students who are working through dyslexia and how they learn differently.
Yep.
And obviously your background as a member of the military. Let's tie that all together and talk about a couple of those subjects, and we'll see if we get any text messages coming into 35270. You can text us if you have any questions for Brandy Pyle or myself. We'll be back in a few. Good afternoon. This is Shannon Royce Jones sitting in this afternoon for Tyler Axness on Afternoon Live. I have with me this afternoon my friend and legislative colleague, Representative Brandy Pyle, who is representing District 22, which she will do a much better job explaining exactly where that is. But it's basically all of Cass County that's not Fargo or West Fargo.
Close. Very, very close. I do have a little bit of West Fargo and Fargo, so we're a great representation for our entire county.
Do you have Fargo
county.
Too?
A sliver.
Oh, my gosh. So everybody. We'll just say Cass County.
Yep.
And everyone in Cass County who's not me.
Yeah, we'll take them all.
But Brandy is here this afternoon. We're going to talk about a couple of different topics. We're going to start out, she is running for re-election in District 22. We have a primary coming up in June and an election coming up in November. And at this point, no Republican or Democrat opponents. Is that accurate?
I think there might be one.
Might be one filed.
Yeah.
Still to be determined.
Yep.
We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the legislative race. Obviously, there will be lots of time for those things coming up. But along the same lines, she has some passion areas that have made their way into your legislative work.
Yep.
But also outside of the legislature, you serve on the board for Haley's Hope.
Yep.
I'm going to let you explain what Haley's Hope is and what they do, because I think you'll do a better job than I will. So why don't you tell people who don't know, what is Haley's Hope?
Sounds great. So Haley's Hope is a center for dyslexics. It started a little over 10 or 11 years ago with our founder, Carrie Buchhaus. She has a son named Haley, who was just struggling in school, and they just couldn't get very far, just struggling with all the reading, the math, and then behavior started. So when she started doing research, there was no resources around in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and they started going down weekly to Minneapolis to get training. They've been out to Boston, and she's been out to California to get different certifications in the programs that we offer, and being a true entrepreneur and a true pioneer in the Midwest area, she began a program, and now we service a couple hundred kids, and it has grown, and so we are in a new-to-us building a little over a year ago, and we have in-person tutoring, so kids and sometimes adults will actually come in and do one-on-one literacy coaching. Through Orton Gillingham and Barton Spelling. We do math programs and work with handwriting and eyesight. Our staff is phenomenal. I can't even explain it, but every time you walk in there, it's wonderful. It's just it's like a coming home feeling. It's not very institutional. The tutors will meet you at the door. They'll walk you back to their room. My son actually goes there, so that's kind of how we first started. He has never cried once in going. He knows every Monday he goes. And sometimes he tries to get a little sandwich out of like Jimmy John's or Subway out of us on the way home, which is fine. He definitely works harder on the reading skills than the average general ed student does. But we're very proud of him. He has his certificates sitting on our refrigerator, and every time I want to put it in his box of paperwork, he pulls it out and puts it back on the fridge. So now the older sisters think he's my favorite. It's not true.
Always an ongoing battle, right?
It's an ongoing battle when you have multiple kids. Who's the favorite? But he's very proud of his hard work. He was even showing me some t-shirts and things tonight. He's like, Mom, you got to order me these. But, every time a kid comes in, they level up. We have this hallway of achievement where the kids get to ring this massive bell and the entire office cheers. They get to sign their name on the wall with the level that they've passed. There's 10 levels that they get to go through. We offer there's a summer program for reading and one for math that I know that. I was just elected the board chair. So it's kind of taking on a new role rather than just being a member to kind of help directing some of the navigation of things.
So for a parent who doesn't understand what, I mean, how, what are kind of the indicators that your child might struggle with dyslexia or with reading where this might be a good fit for them? And what are some of the resources that are available to them? And how does that work? Do you have to pay out of pocket? Is there insurance? Is it through the school? I mean, help us understand that for those who don't have this kind of background.
As a parent, you'll notice a few things. It doesn't mean every child has dyslexia. I just want to put that out there. But, you know, sometimes learning, finding difficulty tying your shoe, not knowing your left and rights, having a hard time with the handwriting. If you go to haleyshope.org, there's a whole list, and we have it broken out by younger kids, middle school, and adults. Even directionally, you know, they get screwed up. I always tell the kids I'm the queen of U-turns, and we always giggle about it, that kind of thing. So once you kind of have an idea of that something's not quite right. So I have three girls, and then I had, you know, this little boy. And the girls, we had no problem with reading. You know, everything went along swimmingly. Everything was great. And in second grade, we could not pass a spelling test to save our life. So we'd go in and visit with the teacher, and then we started testing for to see if there was any learning deficiencies. And there was a little bit. And then being in the legislature, Michelle Strinden from District 41, a colleague of ours, brought forth a bill on dyslexia. And that, at that time, I served on the Education Committee, and it was a four-hour bill hearing. Lots of tears. We had adults and students testifying from across the state on how debilitating it is not being able to do what was expected of them in the classroom or at work. So we passed a few things that year. We did a pilot project, and we picked a few schools applied, and we did that. That one was kind of hindered a little bit by COVID, but the amazing thing with that is usually teachers, from my experience, are a little bit hesitant when we keep throwing things at them from the government. Everybody loved it. They loved the options that they chose. They were able to work with kids on a little bit smaller groups. And we had a couple of groups from across the state. So that worked very well. Back towards Haley's Hope is one of the reasons why we're here. But it isn't something that is covered by insurance. So we have a fee. It's a fee-for-service option. So that's how we do it.
And, I mean, if someone doesn't have access to Haley's Hope, are they going to get these kind of services in the school? Or do they sometimes have services like this in the school? Or, and how many locations for Haley's Hope? Are we talking about one location? Is there any opportunity to expand those services for other communities?
As a legislature, we're working on it. I think it was the 21 session, I think we passed the science of reading. So that really moved from whole word to the blending of the sounds, the phonemic and phonics of what the letter M sounds like and the sounds that the letters actually make versus guessing what they make. I have some really good friends in the education arena that are kind of going through some of this training right now, and they're like, oh my gosh, Brandy, this is so hard. And I'm like, yep, I know it is, but I know it's the right way to do it. I've gotten a couple of emails from colleagues out west, and we have some, I would say, fears as to, you know, I know we're supposed to do this, but how am I supposed to do this? Who is going to fund it? So there is a work group through Department of Public Instruction. Carrie Buchhaus is on it from our office, just to start the conversation and what we're going to do. Carrie actually goes to sites and helps train teachers in some of this, the ways of just kind of identifying some of these.
So I think, Brandy, what we'll do is this. We're going to go to a break here. Yep. Let's come back and talk about some of the opportunities that are coming up for Haley's Hope. And I think you've got some events coming up. But we'll be back in here in just a few minutes.
Sounds great. We recognize that a lot of times the rural areas don't have the opportunities or the resources. So we do offer virtual, or it's like a virtual tutoring. So it is a tutor sitting at a screen at Helios Hope, and they're able to connect to the screen where the student is at home, let's say up in Williston or out in Rugby, and provide the same services that a child would get sitting in person in West Fargo. So I just want to make sure people understand that it is not just a Fargo, West Fargo, Moorhead area. We actually serve students in a five-state region and 99 cities in the state of North Dakota. So the word is getting out there. People are talking about the word. They're not scared of the word. I have somebody at least once every 3 months, because I do post about it on my personal Facebook, and they just see kind of like, oh, okay, well, if she's talking about it, then it's not so scary, and people are willing to maybe go get seen for services. And they can go the medical route. They can go to Haley's Hope. There's different processes, and they just have to find what's right for them.
I think like any one of those things mm-hmm. that we have allowed to have a stigma over yeah. us in our lives, and it could be mental health, it could be dyslexia, it could be mm-hmm. you know, substance use. I think when you see people talking about it, it just makes it more acceptable, or it yep. takes that weight off of your shoulders. Like, I'm not the only one who's struggling with this, and it just kind of opens the door to those conversations. And so I appreciate the fact yeah. that you're in here and kind of talking about your family's experience, how you've gotten involved with this, and what resources are available out yeah. there for people in the community who might be asking that question, like, you know, is this something that's affecting my child? So you have an event coming up.
Tell us
about that first.
Yep, we have a young little fella. He's going to turn 9 this next month, pretty soon. His name is Wiley, and he's hosting his own little birthday party over at Skate City. This Haley's Hope has changed his life. A severe dyslexic, just very much struggled in school, with friends, the shame that comes with being a dyslexic or having something less than what a normal kid has for abilities was something that really struck him. And so this has been something that has just changed his life and his entire family's life. So April 6th, it's a Saturday, over at Skate City from 2 to 4, they're going to host a birthday party. Skating costs $10 if you want to go, and $4 of that will actually go back to Haley's Hope as a little fundraiser. So this little almost 9-year-old kid is hoping to raise a ton of money for a nonprofit that has changed his life, which is truly remarkable.
And so will you be taking your kids going there that day, or are we going to see you in skates?
I wish.
People might pay extra for that.
I did grow up at a roller rink. My parents used to drop us off and give us money and then come pick us up at the end of the day. So I can skate. I also have the Republican convention day.
Well, that's the same weekend.
So I might find somebody to take Soren.
Yeah, you have to have a stand-in.
Yes.
Send Nick.
Yep. I'll have to find transportation to figure that out. But it should be an exciting day. I mean...
And you said they're going to have cake.
They're going to have cake. Yep. The mom is providing cake. It's going to be an exciting week. They're going to do little announcements out on Facebook through Haley's Hope all week. And we're just excited that he is excited just to have that conversation. Just a brave young little man, just full of...
You said his name was Wiley?
Wiley, yeah.
So Wiley's 9th?
He'll be 9.
9th
yeah.
birthday party on
yep.
Saturday, April 5th at Skate City. 6th.
Yep.
Well, see, that's why you're here.
I know.
Saturday, April 6th, and you can come skate, and then part of that will go to Haley's Hope.
Yeah.
So let's just, one kind of a recap on
yep.
how, if parents have questions about yep. their children, what are some of the things that they can do to identify whether mm-hmm. this might be a resource that's useful or helpful for their children, and then what are the next steps?
The first suggestion I would say would be to go to haleyshope.org. We have a list of, like I said before, just it's broken out by age group, and it's just some identifiers that could possibly identify a child with dyslexia. Again, not 100%, but just it could be. And then just talk around, Google it, and then you can always make the phone call into the office and and be screened, or there's a way through the medical field too.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for your work on that.
Yeah.
I know that it's been an incredible resource for the community.
Yep.
We're going to take a break here, and we're going to shift topics entirely. We're going to bring Olivia back in, and we're going to talk about kind of military service and how that's impacted your life. Welcome back. This is Shannon Roars-Jones sitting in this afternoon for Tyler Axness on Afternoons Live. Now, Eric, the song has a little slower build, so that's a tougher one to come back into.
It is.
But it's one of those things. I was sitting here pulling my chair in and out and rolling over the chords, and so I said it makes me think of the Squeezebox song. Of course, Eric had it in a half a second and brings that up, but then I have to sit here and wait for it to build up. Yep. It's good. It's
and,
a balance.
And it
There's
will
a balance.
Be stuck in your brain for the rest
it,
of the
absolutely,
day.
Absolutely. Absolutely will be stuck in my head for the rest of the day. But this is the things that I'm struggling with here, trying to not roll over my cords and keep my things together. Coming back, we're going to have continuing our conversation with Representative Brandi Pyle, who serves in the State House in North Dakota from District 22. We were talking before about her work with dyslexia, but now we're going to shift to kind of another area of importance, a focus for her, which is veterans and serving mm-hmm. veterans. And that really stems from, Brandi, your work or your service in the Minnesota National Guard. Let's start with that, and then we'll bring Olivia into the conversation. Start out by, how did you end up in the National Guard, and what was service like for you?
Well, I think mine is very similar to others. I was a very poor college student. My parents made enough money that I didn't qualify for anything, and there was no way I was going to graduate with $100,000 of debt, so I had to figure out my options. And decided that the Army National Guard was the way to be. So I became a 73 Charlie, which was a finance specialist. So I was really good at payroll or the entitlements. So a lot of my work entailed before we sent our soldiers overseas to make sure all their documents were ready to go. So when they were in country, they did not have to worry about their pay or their leases or anything of that nature. And then towards the end of my 6 years, I was in a teaching slot, so taught a new recruits before they went to basic training. So I did a lot of that.
And I think that, for me especially, that part of the experience, I mean, yes, there's a lot of honor in serving your country, and there's a lot to be proud of there, but I don't think a lot of people look at military service as both an opportunity to serve your country, but also an opportunity to develop your leadership skills and help offset the cost of education. For me, when I was in high school and college, military wasn't something that my family talked about as an opportunity for young people, you know, for us kids. And I think a lot of that stems from the traumatic experience that a lot of families mm-hmm. had with Vietnam. I had an uncle who was severely wounded in Vietnam, and everyone in our family before him served in the military. But from him on, none of my uncles or family members did. And I think a lot of people kind of have that out there. There's that danger that hangs over mm-hmm. people's head. But Olivia, my oldest daughter, while we were talking about her education experience and what she wanted to do post her high school, I just said, you should look at the military as an opportunity, because I was one of those kids who took out piles of student loan. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that hangs over your head and makes being successful early in your career very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so, Olivia, maybe just talk a little bit about your decision to enlist and kind of how that came to be for you. Before you knew that you would be going to West Point, what was your early experience with enlisting in the Army?
Right. So I enlisted when I was 17, and I was still a junior in high school. So I had a good amount of time to continue deciding what I was going to do after high school, in college, go to college. But I knew that I didn't really want to have student loans. I didn't really want to have like the financial side of it to continue to think about for the rest of my life, or maybe not the rest of it, but a good portion of my life. So my plan was really not completely thought out in the beginning. I didn't have it all decided as a junior in high school, but I enlisted so that I would have access to things like the Montgomery GI Bill, lots of like allowances, things that you can get for your education, and lots of financial opportunities through the Army.
Yeah, and so when Olivia enlisted, they have what is called the split op for mm-hmm. students who are in high school. And one thing, you can enlist at 17 with your parents' permission. Obviously, we signed off on that for Olivia because it starts the time clock on your service commitment while you're still in high school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're burning off some of that service commitment while you're still in high school. But can you just explain briefly how the split option works for students who are still in high school?
Sure. So split op is kind of a shorthand. The whole thing is split option entry or like initial training. So what you do when you enlist and when you join any military service, you have initial entry training. So for a lot of people, that's basic. And then it's your extra training to do your specific job that you choose when you enlist. So for the Army, it's called Advanced Individual Training or AIT. And you do that after basic. And it's a certain number of weeks and it changes depending on what your job is. So I was in aviation. My MOS was 15 Papa, and it was aviation operations specialist. So my AIT wasn't terribly long for that MOS. But the way it works is you enlist at whatever time. For me, I was a junior in high school. So I enlisted in as a junior as I was 17. And then my summer between my junior and senior year, I knocked out all of my training and like basic type things then. But during the school year, I would have one weekend a month where I would be drilling and I'd be learning additional skills, maybe like doing fitness testing, learning like land nav or like things that will set you up for success in the future, and just learning things to prepare you to go to basic, things like that. And then when I came back, I taught the skills that I'd learned at basic. It was about 12 weeks, give or take. You learn everything that you need to all at once, but it was spread out over that time. And then when I came back, I was in a position where I could lead and I could teach the people who were getting ready to go to basic the things that they needed to know. Then finished out my senior year of high school. And then if I wasn't at West Point, I would be continuing my training in my regular Army things. But instead, now I'm at West Point.
Yeah. So we'll come back to that. I want to just ask Brandy, so about your service in the military, you were in the Minnesota National Guard for how long?
6 years.
Okay. And what was the service? What was the experience like for you? I don't believe you were ever deployed. Is that accurate?
No, I wasn't. My sister was. My sister joined my same unit, but then she went on and became an officer. She actually retired after 22 years just a couple of months ago. So she retired as a major. We went down for her retirement ceremony, and it was beautiful. It was right in front of the Capitol that they have this veterans building with a ton of windows with the backdrop of their dome of the state capitol there. So it's pretty neat. My experience was good. We had a majority of females in my unit, which is very unlikely. We were a small unit, basically accountants and finance and HR people. But we were the support staff basically for a larger unit.
So I know when Olivia went to her enlisted basic training, which she explained was the summer between her mm-hmm. junior and senior year, as a mom, you know, I was pretty nervous about Olivia, who, for those who can't see, you're not particularly big or bulky. You're about 5'6", and you don't weigh a ton. And I just, you know, as a mom, you worry about how Absolutely. Are your kids going to handle this? Are they going to be able to keep up? Are they going to be able to do this and that? And I have to say, during basic training, we were able to get calls usually on Sunday for mm-hmm. about 15 or 20 minutes. And you know, parents worry about their kids. And I'm like, how's it going? Are you keeping up with this and that? And after the second week, Olivia said something to me that changed everything. Mm-hmm. She said, well, Mom, there hasn't been anything I haven't been able to do. Yep. And that was my cue to like, you know what? Shut up and stop doubting your kid. She can do, mm-hmm. she can do these hard things. And that actually, when she went to West Point, she had to do basic training again. Mm-hmm. And that was actually, I think for a lot of the parents coming out of high school, you don't have the opportunity to call home every week from the West Point basic training.
Right.
We went for how many weeks before you got to call home?
I think about three, maybe a little bit more than 3 weeks.
Yeah. And so for a lot of those parents, I think they struggled more than I did because I already knew she had successfully completed her basic training. She had already proven in to herself and me, she doesn't have to prove anything to me, but she did, that she can accomplish these difficult tasks. And I think that was very reassuring to me, but it's one of the, a very satisfying thing. I remember when we went down to Olivia's basic training graduation at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And after we saw her and she was walking down the sidewalk with her sisters, her dad leaned over and said, she walks differently now. She just, she has a different poise. She has a different confidence level. And it's an amazing thing to see in a kid. So Olivia, talk a little bit about the opportunity that came about, because I know we talked about this earlier in the show, but for anyone who wasn't listening at 2 o'clock, you had the opportunity arise to go to West Point, and what a lot of people in this area have heard of West Point, but don't really understand what's involved in that process, the commitment that you're making and the service that comes with it afterwards. Can you just overview that a little?
Okay, right. So when I enlisted, I talked to recruiters on the enlisted side to join, and they kind of offhandedly mentioned, hey, we haven't sent very many people from North Dakota from Minnesota to West Point in the past, or in the recent past, and we're looking to send more people to this Army school. And when they said Army school, it made me think like air assault, airborne, schools that give you a skill in the Army to continue to do your job, but in a different way. I didn't think that they meant an entire academy, an entire like four-year college type school. And so they started helping me put my packet in, get set up. So your packet is like a big application with lots of things in it, like letters of recommendation, but also like descriptions of your skills. And so as I'm doing that, I had a chance to go out and visit, and I realized that this wasn't a 2-week course, 3-week course like I was thinking it was. This was a 4-year college, university. It was an academy. So I go out there. I see all the buildings that look like castles, all the rich history that is like 200 years old, and all the opportunities that are out there. And I realized this is something I want. This is something I want to go for. So then I put a lot more thought into my packet, got everything ready to go, and I ended up getting my nominations, getting my acceptance, and had the opportunity to go out to West Point. And before like putting in my packet and getting all this and this real information, I had no idea what West Point was. And I had never really heard about the Air Force Academy, the Naval Academy, Coast Guard, Merchant Marines, or any of the other ones like that either. So it was a pretty big opportunity, but something that I'd never seen or heard about before this.
So, Olivia, I'm going to stop you there because I'm realizing that I forgot to pay attention to the clock. We need to take a quick break, but we'll come back and we'll finish up this conversation. Welcome back. This is Shannon Rose-Jones sitting in on Afternoons Live for Tyler Axness. And apparently, I must enjoy the content because it goes so fast. And so I'm bringing back in my daughter, Olivia Jones, my good friend and fellow legislator, Representative Brandy Pyle, talking about their experiences with serving in the military. And so I want to just finish up with Olivia talking a little bit about, so now that you are at West Point in your first year, you have had a semester and a half of classes. How is that going? And how are... What was the process of picking your major? You've had to do that. Now tell us about that, too.
Yeah, so I am about like halfway through my second semester, and the way West Point does things is kind of different. You don't choose a major coming in. You have about a full semester to think about majors, ask people that you're around what their majors are, what they're thinking about, and just see all your options, and then also think about the classes that you've had so far, like what are you good at, what do you want to keep going on. And then in January, you see all your options and then put in for your major, and then about beginning of February, and then moving on, you'll get confirmed and slotted into your major.
All right, so I'm going to stump you there. Tell us what you chose mm-hmm. for your major, and then I have to ask Brandy to talk about a couple of things.
Okay, so I am now an international relations major, specifically foreign policies and security within that major, and I also have a minor in combating terrorism.
I just think that, I mean, it's really cool, the opportunities that I think are going to come up for you, mm-hmm. and it's not one of those things that you can just go to, you know, NDSU or UND and say, I want to study counterterrorism. And so I wish we had a little more time yep. to dig into all of this, but I want to give Brandy some time too, because she has done a lot of work in the mm-hmm. area on behalf of veterans, and you have yep. some events coming up.
Yep. So out at the Fargo National Cemetery, they'll be hosting a Vietnam Veteran War commemoration at 3:30 on Friday, March 29th. They'll have Dan Thompson out there from Wahpeton to speak, and the 119th Civil Air Patrol and the Fargo Honor Guard, Fargo Memorial Honor Guard out there for honors. But before that, if you are hungry, the Moorhead Legion is also hosting scalloped potatoes and ham from lunch from 11 to 2. So it's just a great it's an important day to remember the 50 years ago, what the men and women
I was,
did.
And mm-hmm. as I should know this, but mm-hmm. it's a memorial of the end of Vietnam or the beginning, or what is the significance of the date?
The time frame. I wasn't alive back then, but our service members were not welcomed appropriately. And so the DOD, Department of Defense, picked a couple of years here to make it very important events across the nation, especially at our national cemeteries. And Fargo is not a rural initiative anymore. It's a full-fledged cemetery. So it's a big boy now, which is great. The event will be out there. I ordered nicer weather than this. This is not what I meant when I asked for nice weather. I think the snowmobilers are liking it, but not what I wanted for an outdoor event. But it is what it is. So we will push forward. I expect probably a 20-minute event, but you know, please dress for the weather. It is what it is. It's North Dakota.
And the National Cemetery, for those who haven't been out there yet, is in North Fargo up on 19th Avenue North.
County
Road 20. Sorry. Yep. Thank you, because I have not been out there myself yet. But it's no, I haven't. I need to do it. But County Road 20, and you go west of the interstate.
Yep.
And so this will be on the dates. Was what?
Yep.
This Friday,
March 29th. That's the date for all the Vietnam
Perfect.
War commemoration events.
Well, I want to thank you, Brandy, for coming in and joining us. Thank you, Olivia, for spending your first day of spring break hanging out with me here. Thank you to Tyler Axness for allowing me to host. Hopefully this went okay, and you know, maybe I'll get asked back again sometime in the future. Have a great afternoon. Thanks so much.